I've got a word from God for you today. Are you ready to receive this today? There was an Old Testament law concerning worship. And God said to his people, whenever you come into my temple to worship me, if you come in from the north gate, then you have to leave through the south gate. If you come into my presence from the east gate, then you have to leave through the west gate. In other words, you don't leave my presence the same way you came into my presence. And if that's the case under the old covenant, how much more under the new covenant? If you came in here sick, I'm believing with all of my heart that you walk out of here healed in Jesus' name. If you came in here depressed or confused or whatever it is, I believe you don't leave God's presence the same way that you came into his presence. Amen. Well, my name is Ray. I'm 34 years of age, and I'm sitting in the garden, a back garden, with speaking to my granddaughter. This was like 5 years ago, and I'm sitting in the garden, 4 years ago, and we're having a chat. She's five. She was five then, and we're having a chat about the problems in the Middle East. And she was coming out with some incredible stuff, and then she looked at me and she says, "Bumper, how old are you, Bumper?" Now, this was like 4 years ago. I said, I'm 65, Eva. And she looks at me and starts crying hysterical. I mean, really bad. And I'm trying to console her. I says, "Eva, what's the matter with you?" "Bumper, I don't want you to die, Bumper." And I'm thinking, is this kid prophesying or what? I said, "I'm not going to die, Eva. But Bumper, you'll be 100 soon." And everybody dies when they're 100. And then all of a sudden, this look of like wonder came over her face. You know, like when Elliot saw E.T. for the first time. That. And I said, "Eva, what's happening to you?" She says, "Bumper, I know what to do." I said, "What?" She said, "I'm going to make you 30. I said, "Are you?" "Yes, I am." "How are you going to do that?" "Bumper, are you stupid?" She said, "Tinkerbell." I should have known. Tinkerbell. I said, "How is Tinkerbell going to make me 30? Papa, you really are." I mean, last night the tooth fairy came, left some fairy dust under my pillow, and I'm going to throw it over you. I said, "How much have we got?" "We got a lot of it, because it's going to take a bit." She said, "Are you ready, Bumper?" And I went with it. I really went with it. So, I said, I'm ready. So she threw this stuff over me. I'm still trying to get it off my clothes. And I went with it. I went, "Eva, I'm losing my breath. It's like, what's happening?" "Bumper, don't fight it. Bumper, don't fight it." Deadly serious. So I went with it. And then I went, "Wow. What just happened, Eva?" "Bumper, you are now 30. The following year, she sends me a birthday card. "Happy 31st birthday." Come on, give it up for my granddaughter, Eva. She's awesome. She's flipping awesome. So I'm driving her to school a couple of months ago. And she's looking, you know, like when kids stare at you? And I say, you know, it's awkward. And she's looking at me. I said, "Eva, why are you staring at me?" "Bumper, I think it's wearing off." So I'm encouraged, that conversation we had, and how many of you know, sometimes we limit God to how he speaks to us. We think, you know, he's got to speak to us through the Bible, or he's got to speak to us through a prophet, or he's got to speak to us through a little hobbit from the Shire, like I am today. But we limit him. He can speak to you by looking at a flower. He can speak to you through a song. He can speak to you. And right there in that conversation with my granddaughter, as she was walking away, believing, "I'm 31. Well, I'm 34 now. But believing it, Jesus said, "Ray, why can't you be like that with me then?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Unless you become like a little child, you are never going to experience the wonder of my grace in your life." And you know, he started me thinking, and the Lord said to me, "Ray," he said, "you see, we know it's fantasy, but she lives in a world where magic mirrors speak. She lives in a world where wooden boys become real boys. It's real to her. She believes it. We know it's fantasy. And the Holy Ghost said to me, why are you treating the world that I've brought you into? This world of wonder, the wonder of my grace, and yet you treat it as if it's fantasy. And you know, my whole life, the rest of my life, there's a mandate on my life. The Lord said to me, Ray, when I handed the church over in Wales, I pastored the same church for 25 years, and I loved it. And 4 years ago, handed the church over, and I said, Lord, I just don't want to fill a diary now. I just don't want to be an itinerant preacher. You know, because 25 years preparing food for God's people, you know, I had something to get out of bed for in the morning. And the Lord spoke to me very clearly. He said, now you're 34. No, he didn't say that. I just said that. He said, Ray, he said, not only are you setting in a son today, but the church is sending out a father. And he said, I'm sending you out as an abolitionist into my church. I had to check up in the diary, in the dictionary, what the abolitionist meant. And then I've discovered it was somebody that delivers somebody else from slavery. And this is what he said to me. He said, Ray, the biggest form of slavery on planet Earth today is in my church. He said, my people are worshiping me in chains. Wow. And he showed me, you know, the people of Israel worshiping Yahweh in chains. And he said, I'm sending you out armed with the gospel of the grace of God. And I've traveled the world in this last 4 years, and I've literally heard the chains of condemnation and fear and inferiority and all the other junk that the devil, I've heard the chains break and fall off people. And you know what I'm telling you now? The only thing that will do it, you see, the church is always waiting for some move. Now, what we need is a fresh revelation of the wonder of the grace of God. We've lost our wonder. Come on, somebody say amen here. And that's my life for as long. Now, if I'm 34, I've got at least another 60 years left. So it's going to be flipping awesome. Let me just say this. For me, the one thing that has robbed the grace of God of its wonder is religion. Now, when I say religion, hear me, I'm not talking about some organized group of people. I'm talking about a principle. This is religion in its essence. Anything we try to do to make ourselves right with God, or anything we try to do to maintain a relationship with God. Your praying, your fasting, your giving, your service, your faithfulness is not the key to keeping your relationship with God. The key is His faithfulness to love you whatever you're going through and whatever your behavior. Come on, somebody. That's His love. That's His love. That's His love. Religion is man respecting God. We've got lots of religious organizations, and they genuinely respect God. But here's the difference between Christianity and religion. Religion is man respecting God. Christianity is man receiving God. You need two elements for religion to work: a guilty conscience and an angry God. That's why religion thrives. Because religion tells God is angry with you, and then we get a guilty conscience because we cannot reach the standard. And you know what? I lived like that for years after. I mean, I was saved out of a rock band. I was watching a film about the life of Christ. I was a dope smoking, womanizing, sexy rock star. That's what I was. And I've given up all three now. And so there I was. I'm in a cinema. I wasn't religious. I was hellbound. I was partying. I mean, I was loving it. And then I watched this movie about the life of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. I thank God the Holy Ghost goes to the cinema. He's got more guts than some Christians. He will go anywhere where Jesus is lifted up, whether it's a film, a song, a play. Come on, somebody say amen here. And so right there in the cinema, the Holy Spirit made Jesus real to me. Oh, and then I thought, well, I've got to go to church now. So I went to church. So I met Jesus in the cinema, and then I met his people. The two didn't sort of go together like. The first time I went to church, there was a guy on the door, the greeter. It was like something out of Star Wars. He had one eye. Honest to God, don't put, no offense, but don't put somebody with like this on the door. You know what I mean? I mean, so he's like this. And I knew I had to pass the guy to get into church. And so here he is, and he's looking at me. He's waiting for me. I was the first person to go into that church, probably since Noah built the ark, right? So like, whoo, a potential convert. So he's there. I'm walking up. And he goes, hello, brother. I said, now, I know my father was a sailor, but I know nothing about you at all. My brother, I don't know you. I've never see, we've got to understand, you know, unchurched people don't understand the way we speak. Come on, somebody say amen. We got a little Canaan language. You got to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm not messing up my suit. Push off. Do you know what I'm saying? So we don't understand this stuff. We don't. A welcome, brother. And I shook his hand. Steve, I shook his hand. He goes, do you feel it? What? God. Feel what? Now he's one eye. He's calling me my brother and I feel it. Push. I'm terrified. I was terrified. You see, I met Jesus. Jesus is not religious. Come on, somebody say amen. In fact, he upsets religious people. And I really believe I got a word for this house. I don't know if you can take it. I said, I don't know if you can take it. God's going to cut across everything you've held to be sacred. He's done it with me. This religious, self-righteous, pharisaical, pointing finger religion has got to die somewhere. And I'm telling you, I believe that God's found a bunch of people in Lytham St. Anne's that are going to drop the rocks. And this is what the Lord said to me. I shared with Pastor Steve. Where you're going, there's no manner where you're going. 40 years, watch this. This is a prophetic word here now. For 40 years, they endured the security of sameness. Oh, we're in the wilderness, but at least it's safe. We're going around in circles, but it's better than fighting. At least the manna comes every morning. All we're going to do is open the tent, and there it is. I know we can't seed it, and we can't plant it, and we can't save it. It's enough for us and to keep us for the day, but it's better than going across. Listen, there's no manna where you're going. And the Bible says when the Joshua generation crossed over, the manna ceased. Come on. They fought battles in the wilderness, but it was all defensive. You don't win offensive battles eating manna. The security of sameness. Let's keep it the way it is. Let's not upset the thing. Yeah, we're bored. Yeah, we're going around in circles. Yes, yeah, the same old thing, but at least it's okay. Well, I'm telling you right now, I've been through this myself on many occasions. If you want to see what's the dream in your heart for this place, there's no manna where you're going. You don't take Jericho eating manna. Come on, somebody say amen. You don't conquer giants eating manna. And there's going to be a radical mind shift. And the area that the Holy Ghost is going to target is our religious, pharisaical mindset. Somebody say amen. I'm glad I got that out of my spirit now. I feel a lot better now. It's like having a shower on the inside. But I'm not, this is wonderfully liberating. Amen. So we've got to recapture, watch this. We have to recapture the wonder of God's grace. Now, there's 24 things. Number one, I'm going to cut it short though, okay? For too long, I'm just going to say a few things. Is this helping anybody already here? Now watch this, right? For too long, the church has been a place where a guilty preacher has been telling a guilty congregation how to feel more guilty. I was raised for the first 10 years of my Christian life. God, it's only saved by the grace of God I'm here. Because all I had was this. Thou shalt, thou shalt, thou shalt. There is the revival that we are seeking. The revival that we are praying for is here. There's a 500 years ago, Martin Luther had the revelation. The thing that changed the church then was a fresh revelation of the gospel of the grace of God. Nothing has changed. It's happening again. There is a second reformation taking place across the world. And it's the grace revolution. And listen, and you know what? I thought I was a preacher of grace until I met a man called Joseph Prince. I don't know if you've ever heard of a guy called Joseph. He's a good friend of mine, preached in his church many times. And we preached together in Africa. I thought I was a preacher of God's grace till I met him. It sounded like heresy. I said, you can't be preaching that. He said, why? And do you know what? And then, the Lord said to me, he said, well, here's the difference. He said, you preach grace a lot, but he preaches grace alone. And that's the radicalness. When you preach the grace of God in its nakedness, people think you're preaching heresy. And if you are not accused of preaching heresy, you're not preaching the grace of God. Come on, somebody say amen. Come on, give Jesus some prayer. I'm preaching myself very happy. Watch this. You see, religion says, face me or else. If you don't reach the standard, then something bad is going to happen to you. And we've lived like that. No, grace doesn't speak like that. Grace says, face me and I will take care of the bad stuff. Watch this now. When God told Moses to set up camp in the wilderness, there were millions, there were 12 tribes. The Ark of the Covenant, God says, when you camp, when there was a pillar of cloud and fire that went before them, when the pillar stopped, they were to stop, okay? And so God says, when you stop, when you camp, you just don't camp anywhere you want. You are to camp in a certain formation. He said, my presence is in the middle. The Ark of the Covenant represents Jesus, the presence of God, okay? The Ark. And he says, when you camp, the ark is in the center. Then he said, you can read this in Numbers 2. He said, three tribes are to camp north of my presence, three tribes south, three tribes east, and three tribes west. This is how you are to camp. You just can't do your own thing. Well, you know what? I looked at this from heaven's perspective. When God's people came together collectively, this is what God saw. Can you put that image up there? Does that remind you of anything? And he's very specific about the numbers. You see, the numbers of the tribes, because the long part, you see, listen, man, when we come together collectively as God's people, we don't meet around the latest celebrity. We don't meet around music. We don't meet around anything else other than the finished work of Jesus. Come on, somebody say amen. So when we meet, okay, put it off now. So when we meet together, and not only this, but God says, not only are you to camp like this, but every single person in every single family is to be facing my presence. So they all were to be facing Jesus, facing the presence of God. Here's the problem. If I was one of them people, I would have said, but there's enemies all around us. If we face you, then we're exposed to the enemy. And do you know what the Lord said to me? No. When you face me, I will take care of the threat. Come on, somebody, say amen. Some of you need to turn around. That's where worry and anxiety and stress comes from. Because we think we have to face the threat. No, God says, You put me at the center of your life. You face me in every situation. Face me in your relationships. Face me in your finances. Face me in your life. And you know what? It doesn't matter what threatens you, whether it's sickness, whether it's whatever. What he says, I will watch your back. Somebody say amen in this house right here. No, you want to give Jesus praise. I'm preaching myself happy. So you face me, I'll take care of the threat, okay? Is this okay for a Sunday morning? Watch this. So God says, so religion says, oh, I love this. Religion says, this is what you must do for me. Grace says, what do you want me to do for you? Now, this is going to be hard for many of you to accept. But I'm a Christian. I know that. We can say it without, but when God gets us down to reality, then we'll start to discover what we actually believe. And you know, listen to me carefully now. The hardest thing for you to do as a Christian is to receive. I could preach a message here this morning about repent! You, the people, repent! Do you know what? I could preach an hour of repentance, make an appeal. We'd all be out there, snot everywhere. Crying, snot. We'd be out there, oh my God! And you know, we would feel brilliant about our repentance. Well, you need to repent again because you just got proud of your repentance. Now watch this. This is how grace alone is so radical. Okay? Before you can change, repentance simply means change. It means change the way you think. But what we've done in the church, change the way you behave. Then God will think about blessing you. We've got it back to front. Now God says, you cannot change your behavior until you receive my goodness. They watch this. They dragged the woman through the street. They found her, caught her in the act of adultery, dragged her through the law. See, the law, if you say, we got to bring the Ten Commandments back to the church, go ahead, you'll just increase the sin level. The Bible says that the law gives strength to sin, not grace. Law, the law was given, the Ten Commandments were given to show you how you can't keep it. I tried. I was needle on Valium. Trust me. For 1,500 years, they tried and failed. That's why grace had to come. Okay, watch this. So the law dragged you through the streets. The law is holy. It's right. It tells us we are sinners. But it cannot help you deliver you from sin. It just tells you you're condemned. It hasn't got the means to help you get out of that condemnation. So the law dragged you through the streets. And the law said, stone her. Absolutely right. She was caught in adultery. I always question where the man was, because in my understanding in Welsh sexual behavior, it takes two. But that's just me. That's the way I think. So they got the woman. Where was the guy? Anyway, just a thought. So then, watch this. So the law dragged her. Shame on her. The law was doing its job. But watch this. This is also what the law is designed to do. The law threw her down at the feet of grace. Wonderful. And then the law says, what are you going to do? I love this. And there's a whole thing here which I haven't got time. But he wrote in the sand and off they went. And watch this. So the condemned was left with grace. Listen, law has to leave when grace arrives. There are so many churches that are preaching law and grace. That the two are opposite. You see, When grace arrives, law has done its job. Come on, somebody say amen here. So now the condemned is left alone with grace. Now watch this. What did grace say? Now before I bless you, before I receive you, I want to see a change in your behavior. No. Do you know what grace says? Where's your condemners? Are they gone? Hey, I don't condemn you either. Watch this. Now you can go and live the life that I want you to live. Come on, somebody say amen. See, grace empowers you to live the way he wants you to live. But for too long, we've done this. I mean, come on. No way. It's not about your behavior. It's about your belief system. So I'm preaching this, right? Watch, religion says, this is what you got to do for me. Grace says, what do you want me? Now, he's here. And he's asking you. How embarrassing is this? What do you want me to do for you? And immediately we go into condemnation mode. But I haven't prayed, and I kicked the dog, and all the stuff. And so we go into self, and Jesus said, stop it. See the marks on my hands. It's not about your behavior anymore. It's about what I've done. Covers it. Now, come on. It's my goodness that will cause you to change. So he stands here and he says, he comes to a blind man, did he not? He comes to a blind man. The guy hadn't gone to church. He'd never tithed. He was a taker. This guy was a taker, stood begging all his life. And Jesus says, hey, Bart, what do you want me to do for you? The religious were going nuts. You can't. Jesus, he's done nothing. He's contributed. You can't say, shut up. I'm Grace. Shut up. Hey, Bart, what do you want me to do for you? No condition. And I bet there are people listening to me this morning, and you, the hardest thing that you find to do is to receive from Jesus because of your behavior, because you haven't reached the standard, because of your history looks like a row of bombed houses. Jesus stands here and he says, that's my problem with my people. They don't know how to receive. You see, we think we know how to repent. Oh, my God, do we know how to repent? We are there, we cry in, we do everything. What do you want me to do for you? I'm preaching this in our church, right, Steve? I'm preaching this message. And a lady gets up from the back of the hall, and she steps out into the aisle. And I'm preaching, okay? And she walks down the aisle like this. She's walking like this down the aisle. She comes to the front. I said, where's security? Could be a flipping terrorist. I mean, look after me. I'm your pastor. She comes down. Yeah, no one was doing nothing. Then she walks with a friend. She walks along. Then she gets up the steps. And I'm preaching. I'm preaching here. And she gets up the steps. And she walks across and stands here. I said, hello. She said, oh, hello, she said. And the church are like, what's going on? So I said, what are you doing up here? I said, what's your name? Oh, my name is Joan, she said. I said, hi, Joan. She said, what's your name then? Oh, I'm Ray, I said. I'm trying to preach, like do my job here. Like. I said, what are you doing up here? Well, she said, this is only the second time for me to come to church. I said, I gathered that. She said, we got a feeding program in our church, right? We're a small church in Wales, and we got a feeding program that feeds 200,000 people a year. It's a miracle. It's another story, okay? We give out 2,000 food hampers a month, right? She said, I've been receiving food hampers, she said. My friend's been giving me food hampers. It's called Jesus Cares. The social arm of our church is Jesus Cares. So she said, and I said to my friend, I said, who's giving me these food hampers? And my friend said, oh, the King's Church. Jesus lives there. Best compliment you can ever have at any church. And she said, I just thought I have to come to his house to say thank you for my food parcel. Not a Christian. Second time in church. I said, that's wonderful. I said, but you didn't have to come up here, did you, really? She said, no. She said, you were talking the story about this man who contributed nothing to society. And I'm like, I could relate to him. I haven't been to church. And yet Jesus, I know that he's here because it's his house. Sometimes people who don't go to church know more about God than people who go to church. Anyway, that's just by the way. So she said, and then Jesus is here and said, what do you want me to do? She said, I haven't been able to walk without my walker for 3 years. So she said, I said, Jesus, you give me a food parcel. I, I know I don't deserve this, but you said it. You said it. Would you heal my legs, please? And she said, I felt this warmth go through my body, she said. That's why I stepped out into the aisle to see if I could stand without my walker. And so she said, I could. And so I looked down. I wonder if I could walk down there. So I started walking down. And then I saw them steps. I thought, I wonder if I could walk up them steps. So I got up the steps. I'm walking across here. And then you got in the way. And I'm standing here. I said, that's wonderful, John. I said, he wants to do something else for you. Never. I said, yes. This is on the platform now. Can you imagine the people? Never. Yeah. He doesn't live in the building, Joan. He actually lives in the hearts of the people that come here. Would you like Jesus to go home with you? Never. I said, yes. I said, but she said, he's already given me a food parcel. Look, yeah, but he said it. What do you want me to do for you? No strings attached. I led her to the Lord right there. Watch this. I love it. This is what I'm saying. Be prepared for the unexpected. Don't just sing it. Be prepared for God to turn your world upside down. Somebody better say amen here. Be prepared for your religious mindset to be smashed. This doesn't happen in church. But because we'd created a culture in our house to expect the unexpected. All this is going on. Then she said, can I speak to the people? I said, okay. I give her the mic. She said, hello, everybody. She said, I'm like this blind man. She said, I've done nothing for anybody, really. She said, I'm a really, really bad person. I thought, coming into this church, the roof would fall in. But she said, Jesus has given me a food parcel, healed my legs, and now he's coming home with me. Why don't you lot do the same? Come on, somebody, say amen right here. Give Jesus some praise in this house. Why? I'm nearly finished. That is not a clap. Come on, somebody. Woohoo! Could you take one more? Have I got time for one more? Are you okay? Are you all right? There's nothing on the telly. So don't worry, right? I want you to, rather than catch what I say, I want you to catch what's coming from my spirit. You know, I know you want to see revival in Lytham. I know we pray for revival in Blackpool. But you know what? The problem is not out there. The problem is in here. The problem is in here. And unless you embrace the wonder of God's grace, expect the unexpected, and it won't come in a package that you decide to receive. Somebody say amen here. I'll just go one more. Religion, oh, I love it. Religion will count you out, but grace keeps on counting. Religion has counted so many people out. Imagine this, it's a boxing match. In the ring, it's the devil fighting a Christian, and they're doing great. 10,000 people in the audience shouting for Christian. Come on, Christian, give him one for me. And she's doing great, smacking the devil all over the place. And then she gets distracted, and the devil catches her under the chin and smashes her down on the canvas, and the referee starts the count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's no movement. The crowd are going nuts. Get up, Christian. You can't give up now. You can't let the devil win now. Get up. 6, 7, 8, 9. And when the referee counts 9, the devil stands on the bottom rope, ready to punch the end victory, and the referee counts 10. No movement. The crowd goes silent. The devil screams, easy, next. Then a shudder of fear and horror goes through the whole being of the devil as he hears the referee from the other side of the ring say, 11. 12, somebody help me here, 13, 14, the devil runs across to the referee who happens to be called Grace, and he says, that's not fair, and Grace says, I know it's not fair, but I am going to keep on counting until my servant gets up off this floor and finish what I've called her to do. Now you can get excited. I give some praise to Jesus. Woo! Religion will count you out. And you know what? If God has sent me up here for no other reason than for one person that feels they've been counted out. You know, religion has, people have counted you out. Watch this. Disappointment has counted you out. And you're on the canvas. People have disappointed you. You're disappointed in people. You're disappointed in God. You're disappointed in yourself. But I want to tell you, I don't care if the count is 16,750,406. Well, 407, 408. Grace will keep on counting until you get up off the floor. And I know, listen, for God to take you across the Jordan, I wish I had time, perhaps I'd come up again and talk about, expand this prophetic thing. But if you're going to cross the Jordan, if you're going to go over into that land you see, not only is God going to smash, cut across everything you've held to be sacred, but he needs everybody, even you. But Ray, I'm just happy to come because I'm not, I don't care what's counted you out. I don't care who's counted you out. I'm here to tell you, grace will keep counting. And he's here to help you. Now, I love this. I'm going to finish with this. I'm going to show you a 3-hour video, and then I'm going to come back. Now, it's only a short video, but I need to say this. I've written it down. Religion says, I work best when you succeed. Grace says, I work best when you fail. See, this is a shift. For too long in the church, we've presented our image because we don't want people to see the stuff. Don't be stupid. We all know the stuff. We all know you're stupid. That was a joke, everybody. We look at each other. We all know that we're just plonkers, just trying our best. Come on, talk to me, somebody. So why do we put up this image and pretend we are something other people we know, everybody knows we're not? We are what we are by the grace of God and the grace of God alone. Religion says, I work best when your life is together. Grace says, I work best when your life's falling apart. Come on, it's the flip of the coin. When you flip the coin, religion says, I work best when you're strong. Grace says, I work best when you're at your weakest. Because my strength is made perfect in weakness. Some of you are on the floor. Some of you are going through the motions. Some of you are Christian by name, but not by experience. And when I'm talking, I'm not talking about super spirituality. I'm talking about authenticity. You know what God said to me once when I was going through, when I lost my reputation, I lost stuff because stuff happened, and I didn't realize how much in love with my reputation I was. When Jesus says, I made myself of no reputation. Watch this. Reputation is who you are before people. Character is who you are before God. And that's the difference. And I remember going through some stuff, and do you know what the Lord said to me? This is when you get real conversation with Jesus, when you get real with him. He said, I'm not concerned, Ray, how you respond to Palm Sunday praise. I want to see how you react to Good Friday's nails. Let that sink in.